What is up, Podheads? Back with another episode of the Podio Slate Podcast. My name is Tony, joined as always by Anthony. And yeah, how you doing, man? I know I haven't asked you how you're doing in a while, so now I'm checking in. How you doing? Like Elmo on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm as good as I'm going to be. And that's very positive. Like, I'm in. Every night that we're doing this, I'm in. In nights like this, kind of reignite a spark. Like, there's always a spark, whether it's you listen to an old album and you're like, all right, I want to chat with this band, or a new artist and you're like, I love the sound, I want to know where they're drawing from, or a friend recommends an album. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like struggling for words here. Like, I love doing this shit, man.
Well, and we've had a really pretty awesome 2024 to this point, starting with Perfect Songs with Friends in a Basement, and you know, getting the Crime and Stereo stuff, and having Benny Horowitz come back, and it's been a fun almost 2 months now. So we're gonna keep doing it because we love doing it, and we're gonna keep searching for different music and new things and stuff maybe you haven't heard of or we haven't heard of. And shout out Sean for pointing us in the direction of Super Bloom. But to listen to new music like this and find bands, you know, that we hadn't heard of before, and then get to talk to them is always amazing.
And that's the thing about doing this is, like, we're online a lot, right? So we see a lot of new bands. We get pitched a lot. Like, we don't necessarily talk about that on this podcast, but, like, we do get pitched a fair amount. Hey, here's, you know, this band's doing press. You know, hey, we're up and coming. We want to do stuff. And it's tough to kind of filter through it all. This is one that was a recommendation from Sean, who was on our year-end episode. And he mentioned Super Bloom. And we talk about it with Dave and Mateo. We slept on Super Bloom for a long time.
Yeah, most of 2023.
Is it a long time?
I mean, no.
In the modern age, 8 months is a long time.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. I guess the punchline for all of this is, if you, there's a lot out there and there's a lot of noise coming at you, and we're some of that noise sometimes, but if you like something and you're passionate about it, tell a friend, whether that be a podcast, a band, a song, a movie, like, promote that stuff to your friends. Like, get them to listen to stuff that you like. If you have like-minded people, like Sean did with us, hey guys, you'll dig this. And he was absolutely right. We did. And, you know, fast forward to 2024, and we're talking to Dave, the vocalist, and Mateo, the drummer of the band Super Bloom out of New York. And really, really awesome guys. Really cool music. Stuff that's right up our alley. And, you know, that's why we do this every week.
Word of mouth is the biggest currency. It is. And, like, even then, sometimes it's not enough because everyone has busy days. Everyone's at work. Sometimes people hit you up. And in the case of Sean, he hit me up last summer, and I think I was at work. I never saw it, or, you know, didn't act on it immediately, and then it goes into the ether.
But he was persistent. He hit us up at the end of the year, and now we're at today.
Well, in an era of, like, recommended if you like, or the Spotify algorithm, we're getting thrown so much. Like, it's, and we know it coming from the podcast side. It's nearly impossible to get in front of people's eyeballs and then to convert. The conversion rate, you always hear about that with SEO, like the sell through or conversion, whatever.
Is Nate here? Did I just hear Nate?
Shout out Nate. Nate, where are you, man? But yeah, we fucking love Super Bloom. We heard him, love Life's a Blur, went back. And that's a cool thing, is when you discover a band not on the first release, there's other material you can dig into. So Pollen is great back in, what, 2021? Life's a Blur, 2023.
Mateo's, you know, record from 16 years ago that hit Bandcamp from, what, Where Waves Rest, right? I think is the record of the band. So yeah. You never know what you're going to find when listening to us or listening to any sort of, you know, medium as far as music goes. So, yeah, these guys are great. This conversation rules. Go check out Super Bloom.
Dave. Mateo, Super Bloom, how you doing tonight?
Going on, guys.
Nice. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're excited to talk to you guys because we've been listening to the hell out of Life's a Blur the last couple of days in prep to talk to you. So yeah, we're excited to chat, guys.
Vic.
And this is like us kind of discovering you is super organic. So we obviously have a ton of musicians come on, but we also have friends come on the podcast, and, you know, we pick a theme and just let it roll. Well, we did a year-end episode And our buddy Sean Robbins, who's a photographer, he's actually going to be at the Boston show for you guys in a couple of days. He's going to film you guys. Life's a Blur was one of his top albums. And this was, what, 2 or 3 months ago? And we didn't just jump out and like listen to it. You know, typically when friends recommend shit, we're like, yeah, let's check it out. So we slept on it. Then we checked it out and we're like, all right, that's one we should have listened to. We should have taken that recommendation.
Nice. I'm glad he made the recommendation. Glad he. Is it because you don't usually trust his advice? Why did it take you so long?
Well, he rattled off 15 albums, yeah, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I only got time for like maybe one a day.
Yeah, nice. I tossed a list of records together that I didn't know from that episode, and you guys were one of the top ones, and I spun it the next day, and I'm like, all right, we got to talk to these guys. Like, let's find a way to. Let's listen to it. Let's reach out. Let's hit him up. Let's have a conversation. So, and then you guys obliged. Here we are.
How did he find us? You know,
it's a great question. It was like middle of last year, and when you put it out, right, June?
Yeah, June.
And he must have found it around then, because I think he originally mentioned it then, and then again at the year end. And yeah, shout out Sean.
He tried twice with us.
With you, not with me. I wasn't on that original text. But he, I don't know how he found you. I'll have to ask him. But he was like, if you guys will dig them, knowing what we, you know, who we talked to and what we've listened to and told him about in the past. So, and he was right. Good recommendation. We won't sleep on Sean's Rex anymore. That's for sure.
Shout out, Sean.
I think he'll be at that show in Boston. So if you see a photographer, I think he's got a mustache these days. That's him.
Cool. We'll say what's up.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Typically, we don't need to go back to first grade, but we definitely want to know what you guys are listening to growing up. What kind of like got you into wanting to do, you know, play the instruments you play, be in a band? What were you growing up listening to? What was kind of the, you know, the music that got you going in the scene?
So me and Tim, the guitarist, we grew up together in Boston or outside of Boston. And we actually kind of played in band together like in high school and actually college too, because we both went to school in Boston. But to answer your question, as far as the bands I grew up listening to kind of like 90s alternative stuff for the most part. Like my first CD was from like a hand-me-down from my brother's friend, or my friend's brother. It was Offspring Smash was my first CD.
Wow, good tone. Can you relate to that?
Second CD I ever owned. Yep.
Yeah. Nice. And like, but you know, so kind of listening like Offspring and Nirvana and Green Day and shit like that. But then I think as far as like getting into music, like the real light went off was like Circus Revive's first album and like, I guess Mars Volta, when they were like more like writing songs, not like insane orchestra shit.
Right, yeah.
So that's kind of where I came from like musically, and it's kind of come full circle, I guess, with this band.
For me, I've kind of been, I was shepherded through kind of, you know, I had like he wasn't actually an older friend. He's actually 2 months younger than me, but he's always been massive. So I guess he always seemed older. And we played in a band together when we were kids. We were friends, and he was always into the most extreme music you can imagine a 12-year-old listening to. And kind of the usual, you know, Nirvana, Transition, Nevermind, Experience. And then I kind of came in through the pop, you know, pop punk world, and then Deftones. I mean, I see the poster in the background. Was obviously a huge band for me. And then I'm not ashamed to say that I remember going to a show with my dad, and it was a Blink-182 show. It was a festival. And I went with the intention of seeing Blink at the time. And the band that was playing right before Blink was Limp Bizkit.
Nice. Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about Limp Bizkit. I can't remember how old I was, but not very old.
Well, you grew up in Italy, guys say.
Yeah, I grew up in Italy. So, you know, we used to, back in the day, we used to get sort of culture 6 years later. And so...
Limp Bizkit is culture, right?
Yeah.
Right, just making sure. I'm in.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it sounds like a like WBC and River Rave or something to keep it local, like Massachusetts. But yeah, Italy, man, that's awesome.
And so yeah, they came on, and funnily enough, Blink-182 got like booed off stage that night. People were throwing cups full of piss at them on stage, which is rude. But hilarious now thinking about it, you know, all this time later. And then, yeah, you know, rest is kind of progressed from there, but that was the entry point.
So Dave, outside of Boston, so were you going to like Palladium stuff and Axis Avalon and House of Blues, like, well, later House of Blues and stuff like that?
I went to one Axis show, and it was Mars Volta, actually. And oh, nice. What was that? Avalon Ballroom. Which was the bigger one?
Avalon.
Maybe it was that. I don't remember. But I would go to Palladium here and there for, like, you know, kind of circa Thursday or kind of the more like heavier bands that go through there, you know? But I was never really part of that scene exactly. Like, I didn't, like, I don't know. I just kind of followed my friends to go to those type of shows. But yeah, we definitely made the trip out to Palladium. We also went to, what's the DC Center?
DCU, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Is that still exist?
It is. It's still there. We were down there 2 summers ago, or a summer and a half ago, I guess. And it was still there, right? Backside of the Palladium.
So we'd see like kind of like the next tier bands up there, you know, like our parents would drive us there, some shit. I think we saw a System there once, which was fucking crazy.
Nice.
I think we saw a Tool there once, which was cool. But yeah.
So everything, a mixed bag. You guys like all the stuff we like. That's
mixed bag. My first concert was TLC.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. I'm jealous of that.
That's pretty sick.
That is pretty sick. Where did you see TLC?
At the Garden.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What was that? What year was that? Do you know?
I don't know, like mid 2000s probably.
Yeah. Wow. TLC. I haven't thought of TLC, and that's awesome.
So would you say you're like heavy leaning towards music? Like that's your thing at this point?
When we were growing up or now?
Yeah, growing up. I mean, now I would assume, but like, growing up.
Like, you know, like mall rock music you'd find at like Hot Topic and shit, right? Probably.
When does that transition to singing? Or was that even happening then? And like, same thing for you, Mateo. Are you drumming at that point?
Well, I played drums actually growing up. And I actually went to Berkeley for drums.
Oh, nice.
And I wasn't like a bad drummer. I won't like, you know, be too hard on myself, but like you go there and you see some of these kids' work ethic and you realize, oh, it's not going to happen.
You're not on the drum pad every night in your dorm room.
We went to school with, you know, Animals as Leaders.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we went to school with Garska. Me and Tim actually played in a band with him before or in college. And he would like leave parties at like 1 a.m. and go to the practice studio for like literally 6 hours.
Wow.
It's an obsession. At that point, that's just a different level. Like that's commitment. And like, you're just kind of born with that.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, so I got rid of drums and I didn't play music for a while. I work in film but you know, always kind of had a guitar laying around and you know, how you do. And this is the first thing that I did again with music since college. So. But yeah, basically I just kind of got into guitar because didn't play drums anymore and kind of had some, I don't know, ideas laying around. Me and Tim wanted to like just play music again. So.
What about you, Mateo? When did you start playing the drums?
I think I was 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because I kind of went from the instrument to the music in a way. I wanted to play the drums and I knew that. And then so I naturally gravitated towards music that was more interesting to play on drums, which then led me to like much heavier music. But I was in bands pretty much straight away. Friends in middle school, like we were in a, you know, there's a pictures of us when we're sort of 10 years old at our first show or whatever. So it was always in a band setting. It was never in kind of an academic setting or in a studying the drums setting. It was always as part of a band. And then in high school, I was in a sort of post-hardcore, like, Converge style, post-hardcore, like, screamo, sort of, whatever you want to call it, band. Mathy, maybe, even, I don't know. And then I went to college, and I was in a just straight-up hardcore band in England for two or three years, and then kind of didn't do anything for several years after that until I met these guys 5-6 years ago.
On Craigslist.
On Craigslist.
Yo, but that Matthew band he was in was sick. You should hear it.
What was the name of it?
The band is called Where Waves Rest.
Okay. All
right. I'm writing it down right
mental
now.
Mental note. Mental note. When I edit this, I'm sure I'll pull it up then. And yeah, yeah.
I have a fun fact. So I decided to upload this old CD that we made in 2006 or whatever, seven, to Bandcamp a couple of years ago, just so that I could send it to the guys I was in a band with. And then randomly one day I was like, I don't know why, I just Googled the band name. And some guy who runs some music blog had made a list of sort of, you know, year's best new releases in metal or whatever. And he was like, this band from Bologna in Italy, like, I really can't find anything about them on the internet. They seem to be new, but they also seem to be old. And he wrote this whole review of a record that was like 16 years old by that point without knowing that it was. So that was kind of funny. The boys,
it's awesome,
got a real kick out of it.
Yeah, it's always funny because, like, you put that stuff out, it lives in perpetuity on the internet for the most part. You never know who's going to stumble on it and when they're going to stumble on it. And then all of a sudden you're getting reviewed for something that's been around for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the time, no one ever stumbles on it.
Right.
Good point, good point.
Yeah, Ken can relate.
People work on that sort of shit for years and years, and they try and get anyone to notice, and it's just such a fucking crapshoot. And then you just upload some random 15-year-old piece of music to the internet, and some guy's like, this slaps. This is just funny.
So two things. Bologna, best pizza I've ever had in my life was in Bologna. Oh, I don't know the name of the place, but it's obviously like known as a foodie town. So when I went there a few years ago, we made a point to go there. Best pizza ever. And two, let's dig into this Craigslist story. Like, who, Mateo, did you have like a seeking band, or Dave, were you like seeking drummer? How'd this happen?
Kind of both. I had moved to New York for completely unrelated reasons. And I just decided that I wanted to start playing music again. And it felt like it was sort of something in my life that was really missing after, you know, 4 years maybe of not being in a band, something like that. And so I was like, I don't know how the fuck to do this. Like, I don't know anyone in New York. I just moved here. I don't know a single person who's in a band. The only thing I really know about is Craigslist. So I just put an ad in the music section. It was the most,
it was crazy.
It was like, it was the biggest. I didn't know, you know, by that point I was listening to all sorts of things. I knew that I was going to be best at playing something heavy because that was always what I played. But I was like, I'll play anything. I'll play Americana. I'll play like whatever. So I had this laundry list of influences or things that I would be down to fuck around with. And then I guess they also had a band seeking drummer ad, but you guys reached out to me first, I think.
Thank you.
It's like a relationship. Like, no, you reached out to me first. No, you made the first move.
I will say though, when he tried out, we had like four or five guys try out that week. We played one song with him, and like I was like, okay, this is the dude. And we're like, all right, like, let's chat real quick. And I wanted to tell Mateo like that, like right that night, like, you're in.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to let the other guys try. I was like, all right. But
yeah, it was a formality at that point. Like, all right, yeah, let these guys in, we'll do it. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, no, we're calling Mateo. Sorry, guys.
He did this cool feel on this one song. I don't know. He knows what I'm talking about. It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
I love it. That's a great story. Yeah, because we were talking earlier there's not a ton out there on you guys, and we're like, well, let's ask the questions and let's figure out how this all came to be. Where we're from, there's not a lot of people, right? So Anthony and I gravitated towards each other because we like music, we have friends that are in that circle, and it's a small circle. Whereas, you know, somewhere like New York, it's a gigantic circle. There's a lot of people. There's so many that it's probably almost daunting. So like, all right, here's the Craigslist ad. Let's see if we find somebody that way. That, and rather than, you know, however you might find people in high school or whatever. So crazy.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's like New York is, you're also kind of alone in your own little, you know, like you're what, five friends who like music. We have our five friends who like music, and then there's another five friends over here, like right there, like right next to each other. But we don't mingle. At least we don't, because we're assholes. But
I relate to that. I understand that.
Because it's hard to find people out here to, you know, just to like play with, but also to get along with, you know, musically.
Well, people think big city, everything's close. Everything in New York takes a half hour. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like you can just walk across the street, especially with gear and everything. So was Super Bloom a thing already when you posted, or was it like in the works trying to get ramped up?
No, me and Tim had like four shitty songs, and we just got Brian, who's the bassist, like literally a month before that or something like that. And then Mateo, what was that, like February or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
So it was all brand new. We had like two or three shitty demos that we'd send around to the bassists and drummers to like learn the songs and come in with. Like, as you know, Mateo had that awesome feel, so he's in. And then Brian is the only guy who showed up with a notepad with like fucking tabs.
Amazing. Yes.
So, you're in. That's kind of what it was.
So what did the post say? Like,
oh, I don't know.
Band with XYZ influences seeking
probably
Italian drummer. No.
Yeah. And even those influences would certainly not be accurate if we did it right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure that's what it said. I don't know. But Mateo was crazy. It was like literally, it was like Elton John, like Springsteen. No. Like, no, not Elton John. Who's the piano guy? Billy Joel. It was Billy Joel. It was Springsteen and Billy Joel, and then like crazy heavy metal bands. It was like, what the fuck?
It was not Billy Joel.
I'm pretty sure it was. I will say,
big up Billy Joel. He put out his first new song in 17 years.
Yeah, today, I think, right? Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Wow. At the time of recording, first new Billy Joel song in 17 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it could be AI generated. Honestly, it sounds like
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Total tangent. When we were growing up, my really good friend of ours, Mike, that neighborhood is kind of a nice neighborhood in Maine, and just across the border into Cape Elizabeth, Billy Joel was dating a woman that lived right there. So we were always looking for him in the neighborhood, like two blocks over, and we could never find it. But Billy Joel, we were close. We got close to him.
The pride of Long Island.
Yeah, another Long Island connection for us. Yeah, totally. That's an awesome story, guys. I'm glad that we found out it was a Craigslist ad, because that was not what I had on my bingo card, for sure.
So you didn't let him know that night, because your band talked you out of it, Dave. So you let him know. Correct. At that point, is it like, hey, we want to be a full-time thing, or is this a part-time thing? Is there talks of making music, or is it just play a couple gigs?
Mateo, you know that how we kind of had it laid out.
Well, I think we were all sort of delusional, and we thought that it could be a serious thing. And, you know, we weren't like 19, so we all had jobs,
right?
And we were just like, this seems realistic, you know, we're going to join a band, and it's going to be a real band, and it's not just going to be like four dudes kind of sweating it out and drinking beers. And for some reason, we all shared this same delusion. So we went in real heavy, like real fast. We were meeting up 2-3 times a week, pretty much from the get-go, and pretty much nonstop for like 3 years. But we recorded, so we started hanging out and practicing. We recorded an EP really quickly, like in April of that year, May of that year. When was it? Something like that. Brian, who plays bass, is also an awesome sound engineer and producer, and he was working out of a studio in Union City at the time in New Jersey. And so we went out there for like a few days and stayed in some shitty, you know, like mildew smelling Airbnb, and recorded four tracks, something like that. Five, I can't remember, for an EP, and then just kept going. So it was full time in the sense that there wasn't anything else I was doing outside of like going to work and then being in a band. But it, you know, obviously not full time as much as I think everyone would have liked it to be.
I think we were also like, honestly, those first couple of years, like learning our instruments again, or like for me, like actually, because I didn't play guitar ever in a band, but like,
oh wow,
you know what I mean, Mateo? Like I didn't play an instrument like in front of people for like, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years at that point.
Yeah, we were all coming back to music after a reasonable amount of time out. So there was for sure that element. I mean, there exists a recording of our first ever show somewhere, but for the sake of mankind, it's probably better if it
like 12 years from now, it'll make it onto some digital.
It's so bad, though. The only person in the crowd was Mateo's girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, but you got to start there, right? I mean, you just people don't know. They don't know what they're in for yet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, I feel like the hardest instrument to find someone in a band is drum. Everyone fucking plays bass. Like, I play bass, and I don't even know what I'm doing. Guitar. Guitarist a dime a dozen. Vocalist is tough, and I feel like drummer's tough. So you guys kind of have like 1.5 drummers in the band. So Dave, are you critiquing Mateo having the Berkeley background? You're like,
I mean, I don't know. But it's a song because like me and him will usually be the first two to attack a song, as that usually goes. So yeah, I'll have my ideas, but
I'll tell you what, it's helpful to have the person who's writing the songs know what it means to play drums, because what usually happens is you have someone come in and be like, I wrote this song and the drums should go like this, and it's either just not like physically feasible to play a drum part like that, or they're incapable of explaining it to you. And so it's been so helpful because Dave will obviously have an idea of what the drum part should sound like and is able to explain it, and then like we work it out together usually. But I think we're very lucky in general to, that stuff isn't a problem in our band. Like, it's not the band where if someone says, hey man, you should change that bass part, it's going to cause like a huge sort of issue or crisis. We're just like, cool, great, I'll do it this way. So, and same goes, I think, for the drums.
So you guys are forming, what year is this? Is this post-pandemic, pre-pandemic?
2018.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been around for, you know, so almost 6 years. Yeah, 6 years now. Wow. So you're getting together, you're starting to, you know, throw some ideas together, playing, putting some songs together. Do you have an idea of what you want it to sound like, or are you just feeling things out at first?
Like, we knew we wanted to be kind of like, I don't know, 90s-y sounding, but like, no, we didn't have like a set genre. I don't know if you heard our like first CD, but Pollen,
yep, listen to it today.
That to Life's a Blur is pretty different, I would say.
I mean, I would agree.
Yeah. So I mean, right there is like what, like only a year and change difference, and things change pretty quickly. But that's because you know how it goes. Like that first one, we took like 2.5 years writing it because you're not answering to anyone, or you know anything really. So in that time, even those songs kind of changed, and you should have heard the ones that didn't make it. It's fucking dog shit. but yeah, we didn't set out to do anything, I would say. And even now we don't. Like, this new stuff's pretty different too, I'd say, that we've been working on.
Nice. What I gathered, especially listening to Pollen and then listening to Life's a Blur, but finding you first with Life's a Blur, like, okay, yeah, I can see there's a progression here to this. And then you put, the Velvet Hippo, the song out, and then the demos. Can see there's even a progression from the demos to the Life's a Blur version. Definitely. Of songs. Like, yeah, no, that's cool.
I think the only people to listen to those demos.
They're there though. Like they're good stuff, man. Yeah, no, we sent it to another podcast friend of ours today, and he's listened to it. So
cool.
Yeah, out in St. Louis. So yeah.
I love hearing first show stories. So when I say first Super Bloom show ever, like what comes to mind? Excitement, no. Disappointment, someone's girlfriend in the crowd, that's it? Like, what?
I think we were stoked. I mean, it was at the Kingsland, which is at the very, very sort of tip north part of Greenpoint. And there's like virtually nothing else up there. It's like, there's not a lot. No disservice to Greenpoint, but there's not a lot once you get up to the Kingsland. And it was maybe a Thursday night, could have been a Tuesday, like just pretty random. And we were still pretty green. I mean, we'd hung out a lot, but we'd never, I don't know. I think it was maybe one of the first times that we got like drunk together.
Oh, I love it.
Because Tim, for sure. The first time.
Had somewhere to be, but we hung out and we had a bunch of tequila shots, and I think we really enjoyed it. I think we probably thought it sounded pretty good until we heard the recording.
You can't fake that excitement. Like the first show, you can't. And honestly, you might never recreate it. Just speaking from the podcast, I remember the first interview we got, that's a high that you're kind of chasing as long as you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I think we were all kind of excited and a little bit in disbelief of like, it felt super familiar, but also really foreign, kind of carrying your little snare drum onto the stage and like screwing your cymbals on and carrying your amp. I'm like, man, it's been a minute, but it feels good, but it feels strange. So all of those feelings together.
But the first like dozen shows felt like that, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's good then. That's good. Yeah.
Did you guys just gig around New York?
At first, yes. For like, I guess, I mean, I don't remember when the pandemic was anymore, but I think only thing we did through that was just New York, right? And then after that, our Pollen came out, and like, just kind of luckily that opened up some cool doors for us. And so we got to do a bunch of, you know, around the US.
First thing we did was we played the fest in 2021.
In Gainesville, right? Down in Gainesville? Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we gigged all the way down, right?
That was the first thing, that was the first excuse to play out of town. And so we booked the, you know, 4 or 5 shows on the way down to Gainesville. And that was fun. And then the year after that, we got to play 3 pretty large like rock festivals. Welcome to Rockville and Louder Than Life and sort of those festivals. And that was obviously the sickest thing ever.
And those are huge too.
It was beyond. Like, we didn't even know what to, like, they were so big that it made no sense we were there. Like, we showed up, I'm getting ahead of myself. We showed up in a fucking Kia Sorento. Yes. And they're like, oh, like, are you Super Bloom? Okay, is this your party yet? Okay, park here. We parked between 2 tour buses in a Kia Sorento. It was
amazing.
We had soft shell cases. It was like ridiculous.
I was gonna say, you must have shared equipment then, just a Sorento, or was it all jammed in?
No. Well, we had a backline there, but all of our gear was like in soft shell. I had a gig bag. And like the roadies came over, like, can I grab that for you? I'm like, I guess, thanks. He like took.
Yeah, we looked at the lineups, like on Aftershock, Louder Than Life, you know, like Nine Inch Nails headline, Evanescence headline. Like, that's especially like early on. That's crazy.
Yeah. We thought we made it.
I mean, how did you get on those? Did you guys put in, or did somebody contact you? Like, we've tried to like get press for that stuff before too. We have, you know, local bands in our area that have tried to get on it. Like, we want to know, like, how does that happen?
We don't really know the full story, to be honest, but we've talked to a couple people. Like, it seems like someone took a liking to us in the circle of the booker, and they reached out to us, and that's how it happened. I don't know. It's crazy. It makes no sense, to be honest.
No, it's give yourself a little credit, man. It makes some sense. People like the music.
it was awesome. It was awesome. And we really, I feel like, because it was quite unexpected, and I think usually when you get to play a stage that big, you've played 300 stages slightly smaller than that. Yeah. And once you get to the bigger one, you know, it's like you don't notice yourself getting taller. You don't notice yourself getting older. It's kind of that same vibe. But for us, it's like you were a child and then you woke up the next day and you were 95 years old.
How did we get here?
Yeah. So we're like literally wide-eyed, like a baby seeing the world for the first time, like in the, you know, on the back of a golf cart being driven around the festival, just feeling really psyched. And we made the most of it. Like, we were, you know, walking around, checking out all the other bands. So I'm kind of happy that it happened when it did, because it's fun to be excited. Like, you don't want to be an old sort of grouchy, desensitized guy who's like, I've seen it all before. This doesn't excite me. So it was awesome.
Man, ain't that the truth? Yeah. Like, it's like that carrot that's kind of dangled early. It's like, okay, well, this is awesome. You know, I mean, we kind of maybe skipped a few steps, but this is maybe what's in our future. You mentioned Pollen. That was summer 2021. Self-released. Was that like a ethos from the jump, or did you guys try to shop it? I'm always curious how these happen.
Like, minimal shopping. I mean, honestly, like, that was like the pinnacle at the time. Like, it was like our idea, what was it, 2 or 3 years at that point? Like, let's put out a record. and have it be pressed into vinyl. Like, that was mind blowing, and we did it. So minimal shopping, that wasn't like ever the goal. We actually like got semi far with a couple spots to like put it out, but we realized like, you know, we all have jobs, we can afford, you know, a few grand to put out ourselves. Let's just do it. So yeah, there's no like ethos to be like DIY or anything, and there still isn't, you know. But it's cool that we are, because we kind of don't have to answer to anything.
No $5 caps at the your gigs to get in. Keep it $5 for the kids.
You know, what really came down to pawn was like the Spotify gods, you know, did us right.
Sad, but true.
That's it.
Isn't it amazing? Like, we've had spurts of that where it's like you see a spike and it's like we didn't do anything different. Mm-hmm. Like, the content's the same, the effort was the same, but something happened. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like catching a fish. It's like you never know what's gonna happen.
True.
Cast a million lines and one of them someone's gonna nibble, and all of a sudden they tell 10 friends and okay, mm-hmm. Cool. All right, this is fun. I like this.
Yeah, that's how that festival doors opened.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But to answer your question, also to add to the answer on the pitching the record, we didn't know that anyone was listening. Like, we put out this EP.
No one was, dude.
No, it did, but no. Yeah, we were right
at that point.
No, but like, it did what every EP by an unknown band does. Like, your friends listen to it and your mom listens to it if she wants to. And, you know, and then out of the blue, it wasn't even in the release towards sort of releasing Pollen, but an older song that we'd released as like a random standalone single ended up on a Spotify playlist of some size, you know, like an editorial playlist. And I think that, I feel like such a douchebag saying this, but like, I guess that gets you in the algo. I don't know.
Yep.
No, that's reality. That's you ride that wave.
Like, we didn't have an agent or a manager at the time. We were just like, what's going on? Like, who decided to do this? Like, thanks, but who decided to do this? And so then as we started releasing Pollen, I guess that there was already an ear to the ground on that side, and then it got picked up more and more. So we got super lucky, honestly, is the truth.
Yeah. I remember when we had like 1,000-month listeners, it like blew our mind.
Yeah, I have a screenshot of it in like in my phone. I was taking screenshots like every 500.
Oh yeah. Can relate. And you know what? I saw someone online say this, and this really hit me. Picture that many people in the same room together. And you're whoa.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I've never met 500 people in my life.
I have a notebook behind me in this amalgam of books and notebooks, and one of them is from the start of the podcast, and every time we hit another 100 listeners, I would like see how long it took us, and I kept writing it down, and I was like, oh my god, 100 people listen to the podcast, awesome. Oh wow, we're at 500 now. Like, it was it blows your mind at first, especially you're like, people are paying attention. how is anybody finding this is awesome. That's so cool. So you self-released Pollen in 21. What you put out Life's a Blur this past year, 2023, around the same time in June. What did you like from putting Pollen out that you did the same this time? And what did you do differently that you were like, let's do that? I like that, but let's do it this way instead.
Well, we pressed it ourselves again. Oh, no, actually, no, that's not even true. We hooked up with a German label.
Nice.
For both releases. Shout out 30 something records. But the difference between the two was we worked with someone to try to get a little PR, and that's a crapshoot in and of itself, I feel like.
Totally.
You know, if you're
absolutely
you're bigger, it doesn't matter, right? That was one thing we tried to do differently. I don't think it moved the needle, to be honest. But that was, you know, our new like little project with this one to like make more noise, if you will. Did it happen? I don't know. I think just the Spotify gods once again showered their grace on us.
They blessed you. Super bloom. Super bloom.
So yeah, not much of a story there, unfortunately. But I will say that people like color variants. They don't want to buy black records. So that's one thing we learned.
It's amazing.
They'll pay more for it. It's crazy.
It's so true. I bought two today, and it was one that I was older but repressed, and I'm like, I wonder if this is color, and sure enough, it was. But I like didn't think about it when I was buying it because I've been buying them for so long that I'm like, yeah, if it is, it is. If it isn't, whatever. It's one that I want. But when I'm buying ones that are pre-order, I'm like, I got to get something that's not black. Like, I need to buy something with color in it because who knows how many of these are going to get made. It's totally a play. Like, I know they're playing. Right. I get it. But
no, the color sold out like immediately. And now, you know, oh, well, wish we knew.
Well, one thing that we did like was the ability to finish making the record and then put it out pretty quickly. And, you know, as an independent band, you get to do that. And I think there's also another strategy, which is you make a record that you're really happy with, and then you sit on it and you shop it and you sit on it and you shop it and you don't put it out until someone puts it out for you. And we have friends in the scene, other bands who've followed that strategy at times, and it's worked out. Obviously, we have others where it hasn't worked out. And I think with Pollen, it was just like, that was the North Star. It was like, we want to make a full length record, and we want to put it out, and we don't care who puts it out. We want to make vinyl. We want this guy to mix it. We want this guy to master it. And that's what we want to do. And we did that, and we were like, okay, awesome. People want to listen to this. Let's do another one. And the next one was, I guess it's an EP. It's been a little bit controversial if it's an EP, but it's an EP.
Love it.
And again, we just finished it, and we didn't want to sit. We didn't want to have to, you know, be here today with unreleased songs just sitting on this thing that we made, waiting for someone to tell us that it was okay to put it out. So I think that was something that we enjoyed about the first one that we wanted to do again with the second one. And we've scratched that itch now, I think, and we're a little bit more patient. And we were working on demos and taking our time and like sitting on stuff now. So we kind of did what we wanted to do.
Well, one thing that stayed the same between releases is the album art. Who's the mind, the mind genius behind that? Because I love it. Because like I was putting myself back into like early 2000s, going to the record store. If I saw the cover to Pollen and Life's a Blur at the record store, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? I don't know what that is, but I need to understand what's going on there. So there's a theme there, clearly.
Yeah, it's Patrick Turk, our boy from Texas. Yeah, he's like a psychedelic artist that we just kind of fell in love with the stuff we saw on his Instagram, and we reached out to him, and he was super about it.
Nice.
So every time we release even a single, we'll ask for, hey, have anything laying around that's kind of like on the cheap we could buy from you to use? And he always does. He always hooks it up. The first time we met Patrick was at South by Southwest, and he showed up in full watermelon garments. I don't know how to explain it.
Amazing.
Completely, like, the least surprising thing, I think. Right. That...
And that's just, like, what we expected, honestly.
Yeah. No, he's really insanely cool. His primary medium is collage, obviously, and he does a bunch of other stuff too.
I sculpture collage too, like 3D collage is really cool.
Yeah. And we actually have, so we have the physical pieces that the records were made from.
That's cool.
In the studio, which is really neat.
And they're much smaller than you think. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like the Mona Lisa.
You know what I love about it? Which among a million things, but there's no band name. It's just, this is it. This is the art, and it draws you in. I like Tone. If I was at Bull Moose in 1999 and saw this, I'd buy it.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'd do this. I'd be like, "What is this?" You pick it up, you look at the back. Who made it? Where are they from? Like, I want to open this, so I gotta go and buy it. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a conscious decision to like let the art speak for itself. It's like, it's so dope. I mean, it's like crazy what you're looking at. So. The first one we picked from his, you know, I guess gallery for Pollen. The second one he actually made for us, which was cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and he sent the first like rendition of that when we were all together at Fest, I think. And I think our set was over. We were drinking. We got the, you know, the PDF, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, like, fuck yes.
Does he listen to the music and then come up with something for it, or?
I have sent him like the demos, or sorry, the mixes in process, just because he's cool. I don't know if he actually does that, but he seems to be a fan. I hope so.
Yeah, I'm always interested at how, like, how, why, what, like, what. That's why we do this, right? We find want to know more about it. Like, we love listening to the music, love looking at the cover art, love figuring out what went into making this. Like, I do that with everything. So yeah, that's pretty badass. Are you gonna keep with it? You gonna keep using them?
Don't plan on not using them. We did it for Velvet. Although we put words on that one just because, I don't know, switch it up. Yeah, but no plans right now for any releases.
Let's talk a little more about Life's a Blur, because we slept on it a little bit. And I say we slept on it. It's been out for 8 months. Like, we didn't sleep on it that hard. But I love that we do this, because I'm listening to the intro, like the very start of Falling Up, and I'm like, that drummer's going fucking nuts. And to hear the story, I'm like, that makes sense. Like, who had the idea of just Mateo cooking on the drums at the start of Falling Up?
You mean the sample or the actual song drops? When the song drops?
Right when the song drops.
Yeah. So I don't know if Tim's first demo had those type of drums on it, Mateo, but Tim had like almost a full demo of the song with like, you know, shitty MIDI drums that he brought to the table. So, Mateo?
It was definitely my idea.
There you go. I love it. There we go. Yeah. I was like, that, it's not out of character, but it's like whoever came up with that comes from, like, that's part of their pedigree. And to hear this, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
I actually don't know. I think Tim had a blueprint, I think, of what the drums, of a direction, right? And then I think the rest of it probably, you know, took on a life of its own when we were actually kind of practicing and working on the demo. But so it would have been like a sort of own just the bones version and then everything else on top. But yeah, that's a really fun song to play. It needs to be in the right time in the set, because it's kind of an intense song to play as well.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, there's a lot of energy with that one.
Need to make sure I'm not too tired.
Yeah.
I know. Do you open with it and like maybe give folks a false impression? Like,
now
you
what? Now.
We haven't opened with it, but
it was second in the
maybe. No, we tend to put it in the beginning, like you said, because it's tough on everyone. But the sample, we got a sampler now, so we can actually use the samples live, which is cool. So we do the drum lead into the song, and it's, yeah. And now no one rushes, which is good.
And listening to, I mean, the intro. Anthony said this to me earlier today, we were talking about it. It sounds like the start of a mixtape. Like, is someone going to come in and start rapping? Like, you don't even know because of the sampling. It's awesome. It's a different vibe than you'd typically see from a rock band like you guys, you know, today. Like, and I love that about it, because it gives you, it all flows together from the intro all the way down because of these like interludes. And yeah, it's awesome.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, we always wanted to try something different, I guess. I don't know.
It was fun making the EP though. I
agree with you on the interludes. The interludes were polarizing.
For who?
Oh, not for us, but for other people. They were like, why did you guys do that?
Hey, so do those start as the like the framework of a full song? Or do you set out and be like, hey, we need a transition. This is intentionally an interlude.
No, we had... We had five songs and we're like, or four songs actually at the time, like, let's release an EP. And then we like last minute added a song and we're like, it's still not enough. Last minute, we added the five interludes, like super last minute. It's like, you just, the first idea, which that's kind of cool. You didn't really edit yourself, you know? The first ideas are just like, yeah, good. Go with it. So yeah. And I've always liked those kind of concept-y things that don't stop. Especially if it's going to be on vinyl, you know, it kind of plays right through. So
it definitely has that vibe. I mean, you start it and everything feels connected for me. And if it's polarizing for people, hey, it's not super long. Like, it's 23 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can call it an EP if you're polarized about it. You know, if you're upset about it, call it an EP. If you want, if you like the fact that it's 11 tracks, call it an LP. I don't care. Like, just enjoy the fucking music, you know?
That's right.
We call it an EP, just so we're clear.
It's an EP on the record. The record's an EP. Here it is. That's it. You've heard it. You heard it here first, or like it's last.
One thing I love about you guys is, I don't know, for lack of better words, the optics of the band name, the visuals, obviously the sound, but like the first two have to hit for people to even listen to the band. So is that something you guys are conscious about? I would think so. Just the fact that you like you self-released everything. So there's like at least an intention of, you know, kind of having control of it.
Do you mean the image of like the art?
Everything. Band name, art, like you get a vibe and I love it. I guess that's the punchline.
Well, I can say this. When we thought of the band name, like we're like, how about Super Bloom? Brian lost his fucking mind. So we knew it was kind of a cool name.
In a good way or bad?
In a good way.
Yeah.
Like he was like, if we're not this band name, I'm quitting. So, okay. So the band name, we've always liked that. I think like vibe wise, I don't even know. Like Mateo, do we have a vibe? I don't think we have a vibe. We're like just four dudes.
I think Dave's being modest. I think he there's a lot of thought that goes into the not the image of the band is in like you wear a white t-shirt, like you know, wear
right.
different pants, is in the aesthetic of the releases for sure.
Yeah. All that.
And like the videos and even the singles that we were putting out before kind of Patrick got involved and we were using his art for the records. So I think, and not because there was an agenda, but just because I think we care. And I think Dave is
yeah.
also very sort of visually oriented and so there was a lot of attention to the detail of it. I don't know that it was ever necessarily kind of conscious that it was, you know, colorful and tied into the Super Bloom. Obviously there's like this the flowers kind of thing, there's a bit of a kind of motif with the flowers. I don't know if it was that deep, but yeah, it none of it was random, certainly as far as the imagery and the whatever the kind of style was of the, you know, the record and the covers and that type of stuff.
I love that. And like, not to get hung up on that, but like in this day and age with so many bands, so many genres, like if your name sucks, people probably aren't going to check it out, you know, and your name is awesome. Like that's the spirit of the question is
yeah.
I'm all in on it. We got to get down to that Boston show tone. I don't know how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Dave and Mateo, can you line up a babysitter? Is that a, can you
do you play guitar?
No. He could pretend. I'm sure he'd be good at that. Yeah.
I can't sing, so no.
Me either.
Man, yeah, I'll pick on the list.
Yeah, would be awesome. Would be awesome to see you guys there. Bring the baby.
There you go.
Oh god.
All ages.
Buy him some headphones, you know?
Yeah. I've seen babies at shows with like the kind of isolating headphones.
Anthony, I think we gotta go.
Yeah, one day they'll be on a podcast, they get asked who's their first band they saw.
Actually, they haven't seen a band, you're right.
This is it. Yeah, we're taking the kids. Let's go.
There you go. we can swear less. We swear way less on stage.
Nice. Yeah, so this is gonna come out probably after, but you're going out with Soft Cult for a couple of days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
getting ready for that right now.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Yeah, we did rehearsals last week, the ramp up ones at least, and then this week some, you know, patchwork, and then yeah, we're ready to go. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
we never played Boston before, so
yeah, that'll be cool. I'm excited for you guys because you know, just we're excited, and Sean, our buddy who is gonna shoot the show, will be down there for sure. And I'm hoping that I can find someone to cover it for work, and I'll be there with him, unless it's snowing sideways, because it's a 2-hour drive. But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, we're excited. Soft, the Soft Cult are cool. Like, they just put out a new single. It's awesome. If you guys haven't checked it out, it's we're into the music, and they've been super nice so far, and their people are incredibly organized, which helps. So no, really excited about it. Kind of wish that it was the full tour, like they're doing 2 weeks going all the way down to Florida and then back up. I think that ends in Buffalo.
Oh wow.
Didn't they like go down and then all the way back up? So that would have been awesome, but pretty excited. We've played some of these. We played DC before, but a very, very different venue. like on the floor in a pub, pretty much. So it'll be cool.
Nervous?
Excited.
Excited, yeah. We haven't played a show for a while.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. I haven't played New York for like, I don't know, 6 months. It's like crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot less pressure if you're opening. Like, I haven't thought once about, like, I wonder how many tickets have been sold.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of go along for the ride and enjoy the fun part and then get to see a cool band kind of do their shit and they have a good following. So so that'll be fun.
It's like being a backup QB, best job ever.
Hell yeah. Until you get tapped in, you're like, what the fuck do I do?
Don't throw an interception, right? Yeah. Hand the ball off, stay between the lines. Yeah. No, that's awesome, guys.
So I asked this because we've chatted with a million bands and some of them say, you know, when we ask, are you writing? They're like, we're always writing. And then others are like, well, when we're on tour, that's it. We don't write. You know what I mean? So are you guys looking to do both, like writing, playing shows?
In general, yes. Yeah. And to answer your question, we are always writing, but sometimes it takes freaking 3 months to write one song. Sometimes we bang out three in a week. But we're always writing. The way we write is kind of demos online. That's a lot of bands probably do now. Back and forth. Me and Mateo hit the studio with Brian. He runs a studio in Brooklyn. So we'll have like these kind of more polished demos, if you will, just me and Mateo playing the parts. So that's a really nice tool to have. But no, we're always writing.
Are you always thinking of like lyrical themes? Because like take Tony and I. There's not an hour of the day that goes by that I'm not thinking about, like, we should deep dive that album, or like, holy shit, I forgot this album exists. I need to talk to that drummer. Like, it's an obsession. And there's a reason we're talking to you guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can tell you guys love this stuff. Are you always thinking about it?
A little bit. I mean, things will cross my mind. I always, like, I finally, the last like year or so, have like utilized my phone. If I have an idea, write it down. You're going to fucking forget it. I forget everything. And that's been really helpful. Honestly, dude, sometimes I'll go like on a Wikipedia deep dive, as people do, and I'm like, get crazy ideas. Like, okay, that's cool. or that's a cool like theme to like explore.
And Mateo, your weapon is the drums. Like, you can't, like, if you're on the subway or whatever, like, it's not like, well, I guess you can tap on your leg. You know what I mean?
Just not the person next to you.
Yeah. I mean, I am very fidgety by nature. Much to the dismay of anyone who spends time with me. But if I'm not thinking about necessarily drum parts, I think collectively we're all thinking about the band all the time, like more than is healthy, and talking about it. Like, we can hang out like normal. We actually do hang out just as friends, which is nice, but inevitably, like, the topic conversation ends up being the band most of the time.
Can relate.
Once you've had enough sort of tequila sodas, then you can start talking about it. But
yep.
Otherwise, yeah, we kind of joke, like, we're not at a point where this is, you know, what we do full time. But if people ask me what my hobby was, I wouldn't say I'm in a band for a hobby. It's like my other job that doesn't pay me any money, but that's how seriously we treat it.
Oh. Can relate to that too. Yeah. Yeah. But I love that because you're passionate about it, right? So that's the point, is you're not doing this because, oh yeah, I'm bored, I'm gonna go play drums and maybe we'll make a song, whatever. No, you want it to be a certain way and you want it to sound good and there's care put into it. So yeah, I gather that from the hour talking to you guys.
I don't know what we do with that, to be honest, you know, like, how would you fill your day if you didn't have this outlet? But Yeah, we should do it full time. Oh my god, it'd be the best. It'd be the best.
I need to find some friends. I would need to find some new friends for sure.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting landscape to make it full time. Like, one, what does that even mean? Two, like, I think that just translates to touring more, really.
I think you're right. Which, you know, I think we want to ramp that up as we, you know, we've been around for, like you said, I guess that is 6 years, but really only the last three,
right,
have been like anything we take it seriously. I mean, I guess a lot of bands, but our plan is, you know, this year we're going to have hopefully two or three longer tours, and then maybe next year we'll have, you know, three or four and go from there. But it's tough. It's tough. It's not just like taking the time off work. It's like, you know, what's worthwhile to go play on this tour, like a total DIY tour in fucking, you know, Midwest, whatever. Like, do we want to do that? Maybe. But like, also, I don't know. Like, so.
Well, it's like, you know, your Spotify metrics, but like, does that translate to people coming out? You know what I mean? There's so much to think about. And
it's scary, like, to, you know, like, yeah, to like spend the money and time to go play for five people, like, whatever. Do we love doing that? Yes. But like, if we're being honest, like, that would suck.
Yeah.
So like, it is what it is.
It's like the necessary, you have to do it, and yeah, you have fun doing it because that's your choice. No one's forcing you to do it, but it doesn't make it easier. I think the question of, like, to your point of like, what does it even mean to do it full time? I mean, it kind of depends on like, what's your pain threshold? Like,
it's true
for just suffering, because realistically the bands that are four people in a band making an actual living out of doing this, I mean, and we're idiots and we live in New York City, so like, there are no bands in New York City that become successful and stay in New York City. They move here when they're already rich, or like, they leave. And I think that's what it comes down to, right? It's like, when you're 19 years old, who cares? Like, spend 4 months out of your year in the van. Like, what else have you got to do? But so, yeah, like, hats off to the people that are doing it full time, that aren't filling up, you know, even 500 cap venues, because those are serious. That's a serious graft. Like,
yeah,
that's an unforgiving fucking graft. And it's fun, and getting on stage every night is awesome, but that's hard work. But the metrics one is interesting, because the States are so big that you can have, I think, 100,000 monthly listeners, and they're all in the US, and they could be like, you know, you could have 25,000 sort of person pools, or you could have, you know, 1,000 100 person pools, or however, you know, so it doesn't mean shit. In Europe, when we went there for the first time last summer, it just translates to numbers, and you see it, because you can be living in Belgium and there's a show in the Netherlands and you're going to drive 3 hours and be there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's totally scarcity. It's a scarcity thing. Yeah,
totally. And everyone's just more concentrated. The distances are way shorter to cover. So,
and they still like rock and roll out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, they at least promote it out there a little better than we do. I mean, we do it, but, you know, we're nobody. We need more people like us out there promoting it. So,
sure.
Well, hey, I'll leave you with this. And I don't say this after every interview. I love the Super Bloom camp more after chatting with you guys. Like, I was all in, but
you
after chatting with
you
guys.
After every interview, you say that every time.
Bullshit.
Interview that you guys have released, and I'm gonna check it.
There you go. Fact check that.
Yeah, fact check. They're good ones too, though. That's why.
Fact check it. No, I'm in, guys. And this will be in the past when this comes out, but trust me, if there's a will, there's a way to get to that show on the 8th. If it's at, I'm looking at now, Rockwood Music Hall in Boston, Mass, for February 8th.
Yeah, we gotta go. Yeah.
There's a train leaving from Portland area. It's just a matter of if I have a ticket or not. So.
Right.
Depending on what direction you live in from Boston, you can get in the van after the show. We'll drop you off.
The other way, unfortunately, probably.
Yeah, you're heading to the Mercury Lounge in New York.
Right,
yeah.
No one ever comes north, especially this time of year.
Do bands play in Maine?
Yeah, we do. We have a decent, and summer is better. You know, once it hits April, May, June, we start to see more of it, but we get some stuff. We have some smaller venues. We lost a venue that was like, what, 500 cap in the middle of the pandemic, which
perfect size.
Used to see a lot more stuff that's come through spot there because of it, and we lost that, and we're still feeling that obviously 4 years out, which shame. Is a big bummer. But yeah, we do get stuff. We just don't get as much as Anthony and I would like.
There's a venue in Portland. It's like 250 cap that would. 250, 300 cap, that would be perfect for you guys. Like, that would be, it's called The Cavern. It's in Portland. You guys, yeah, it's perfect for you guys. So, just saying, if you ever want to go north of Boston, There's
a little 4.5 hour drive.
There's a few spots. Like there's Portsmouth, there's Portland. I wouldn't go north of Portland though. Stay in Portland.
Okay. Noted.
We'll bring you guys around. We'll show you where to eat.
Oh man, that's like maybe the best part of touring. So
well guys, this was fun. I'm glad our buddy Sean, who hopefully you guys meet in a few days, he'll be snapping you guys. I'm glad he recommended it.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm glad he was persistent too, because like Tony, how many bands are put in front of us a day? A lot. Like
more than they used to be, for sure.
Yeah. So it's like we can't listen to everything, but we, like we said, the name, the aesthetic, the sound, and the way you described it, I'm like, all right, well that hits a sweet spot. So we appreciate you guys coming on tonight.
Thanks for having us. It's been it's fun.
Yeah, thanks guys, and we'll hopefully we'll run into you down the line.
Yeah. You guys are killing it, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.